and this collection goes to support the programs of St. Matthew's School, and it will be taken up after communion. Thank you. Also, on second thought, there's a second one. As we do the Mass, you'll note that on your worship aid for the preparation of the gifts, it says that there's a text change. In verse 1, we sing, "And say, who saved and set me free," instead of "a wretch like me." Okay, so just be cued into that. "Saved and set me free." Thank you.
Please rise. Lift up your hearts to the Lord, praise God's gracious mercy. Sing out your joy to the Lord, whose love is enduring. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth, praise the name above all names. Say to God, how wondrous your works, how glorious your name. Lift up your hearts to the Lord, praise God's gracious mercy. Sing out your joy to the Lord, whose love is enduring. Let the earth worship, singing your praise, praise the glory of your name. Come and see what God has revealed, bless God's holy name. Lift up your hearts to the Lord, praise God's gracious mercy. Sing out your joy to the Lord, whose love is enduring.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace and the peace of God our Father and the Lord Jesus be with you.
And also with you.
As we prepare to celebrate the mystery of Christ, we call to mind God's mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting. Let us pray. Lord God, in Christ your healing power restores to health a weary world. In the words spoken here, Christ bids us rise up and live. Cast out our fear and revive our faith. Make us live each day in the joy for which you fashioned us. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who lives with you and in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. God did not make death, and he does not delight in the death of the living, for he created all things so that they might exist. The generative forces of the world are wholesome, and there is no destructive poison in them. And the dominion of Hades is not on earth, for righteousness is immortal. For God created us for incorporation, and made us in the image of his own eternity. But through the devil's envy, death entered the world, and those who belong to his company experience it. the word of the Lord.
I will praise you, Lord, you have rescued me. I will praise you, Lord, for your mercy. I will praise you, Lord, you have rescued me. I will praise you, Lord. I will praise you, Lord, you have rescued me. I will praise you, Lord, for your mercy. I will praise you, Lord, you have rescued me. I will praise you, Lord. I will praise you, Lord, you have rescued me and have not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, you have raised my soul from the dead, restored me to life from those who sink into the grave. I will praise you, Lord, you have rescued me. I will praise you, Lord, for your mercy. I will praise you, Lord, you have rescued me. I will praise you, Lord. Sing psalms to the Lord, you who love him. Give thanks to his holy name. His anger lasts but a moment, his favor through life. At night there are tears, but joy comes with dawn. I will praise you, Lord, you have rescued me. I will praise you, Lord, for your mercy. I will praise you, Lord, you have rescued me. I will praise you, Lord. The Lord listened and had pity. The Lord came to my help. For me you have changed my mourning into dancing. O Lord, my God, I will thank you forever. I will praise you, Lord, you have rescued me. I will praise you, Lord, for your mercy. I will praise you, Lord, you have rescued me. I will praise you, Lord.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there might be a fair balance. As it is written, The one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia,
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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
With you.
The Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus once again crossed to the other side of the sea. And when he reached shore and got out of the boat, a large crowd gathered around him. And in that crowd, there was the leader of the synagogue, a man named Jairus. He approached Jesus and he fell on his knees and he continued to beg him, "My little daughter is sick unto death. Come, lay your hands upon her, that she may be healed and may live." Jesus went off with him, and a large crowd followed along and pressed tightly onto Jesus. In that crowd was a woman who had suffered from hemorrhage for 12 years. She had spent all of her savings on doctors, and she had grown no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She said to herself, "If I but touch his cloak, I will be healed." And immediately, the hemorrhage stopped and she felt in her body a healing power. And immediately, Jesus felt power going out from him. He turned around to the crowd and he said, "Who touched me?" His disciples said, "See how the crowd presses in upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" Jesus continued to look at the crowd. The woman trembled and was deeply afraid. She came up to Jesus and she fell down on her knees before him, and she told him the whole truth. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, it is your faith that has healed you. Go in peace. Be free from this disease." Now, as Jesus was saying this, people came from the house of Jairus, and they told the leader of the synagogue, "Your daughter has died. There is no reason to bother the teacher any longer." Jesus overheard this, and he said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid. Have faith." Then Jesus took James and John and Peter, and he left the others behind, and he went to the house of Jairus. And as he approached the house, he heard a great commotion, and on entering the house, he found people weeping and wailing, for they were mourning. And Jesus said to them, "Why do you weep and wail? The child is not dead, the child is asleep." The crowd then began to mock Jesus, and Jesus threw them out of the house. And then he took the father and mother of the child and his companions. He went into the room where the child lay, and he went over to the child. She was about 12 years old. He reached out his hand, and he grasped her by the hand. He said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl stood up and she began to walk around, and the whole household was amazed at what they saw. Jesus warned them sternly to tell no one what had happened. And then he told the child's parents to get some food and to feed her. The Gospel of the Lord. At first blush, the gospel of today contains two very separate events. And while they are two events, they are clearly not separate one from another. They form one story, and the event of the girl raised to life and the event of the woman with the hemorrhage cannot be understood apart from each other. Jairus is the leader of the synagogue. That means he's the person in charge. It is his job to regulate the life of the synagogue, to provide for the ritual activity, to oversee the community. He is a man of immense stature within the community. He is also a very wealthy man, as is his family, as is his 12-year-old daughter. We know, in a sense, the outcoming of this story from the very beginning, because the name Jairus means he who is raised up, or he who is enlightened. And so there's a hint at the beginning of the story how things are going to end. The woman in the story is an outcast. She is declared unclean. She has been stripped of any material goods that she might have. She has spent, she has squandered her savings seeking medical care. She has been cast out beyond the community. She is regarded as a non-person. It is impossible for her to worship. It is impossible for her to live in close proximity with others. It is impossible for her to be anything but isolated, anything but put off, put to the side, alienated. Both Jairus and this woman have reached the end of their rope, and both of them come to Jesus as their last best hope. Both of them do homage to Jesus, and both of them place a request before him. Now, it's interesting that neither the girl nor the woman has a name in the story. They, in effect, stand for every person. The 12-year-old child stands for the righteous of the house of Israel, and the woman who has suffered for 12 years, she stands in the place of the outcast and the despised. The woman does something that is absolutely incredible. She contaminates Jesus. She reaches out and she touches his cloak, which renders him ritually impure, which renders him unable to worship, which renders him unable to be considered part of the community, which renders him an outsider, and by the popular opinion of the time, renders him unacceptable to God. And Jesus stands in the face of that exclusion, and he denounces it. He calls the woman to himself, and he looks upon her with kindness and with graciousness and with a great delight. He refers to her as my daughter. And then he tells her, this outcast, this one whom God does not have anything to do with, he tells her, your faith has healed you. And then Mark puts on the lips of Jesus words that are found nowhere else in Mark's gospel. Jesus says to her, go in peace. It is not only freedom from the disease that the woman receives, but Jesus restores her restores her to the fullness of life. Now, while this miraculous act is going on, people bring word to Jairus, and they tell him his daughter has died. And Jesus says to Jairus, "Do not be afraid, believe." He says to this leader of the synagogue, "Pattern yourself on this outcast woman. Try to summon up within yourself the faith that she had." All of a sudden, the woman who is the outcast becomes the paragon of faith. Jesus accompanies Jairus. He takes Peter and James and John, goes to Jairus' house. He dismisses the mourners. He takes the parents into the room where the girl is. Jesus touches her, and he says two words. There are only a handful of words that we have available to us that are the words that fell from the lips of Jesus. There are only a handful of times in the Scriptures when the Aramaic words are quoted. And this is one of those times. Jesus says to the girl, "Talitha kum." And the girl stands up. This story is about the call to faith and is told, or the actions occur, for the sake of the disciples. Both the righteous of Israel and those who are outcast are in deep need of salvation. Both of them stand at the edge of death. And both of them are revived and saved by the mission and the ministry and the goodness of Jesus. However, the house of Israel could not be saved without first the outcast woman being saved. Because Israel's illness is found in its exclusionary quality. It's deciding that some are worthy and some are not. It's practice of scapegoating others so that they might be seen as pure. It's practice of limiting the expansive love of God. It's practice of rejecting the inclusive love of God. And if Israel is to be saved, Israel must abandon that exclusive attitude. And so Jesus lifts up the woman, acknowledges her faith, declares her the paragon of faith, and invites Israel to embrace so deep a faith as this outcast person. And only then can Israel be saved. Well, the story is also meant not only for the disciples, but it's also meant for you and for me. And our challenge, just as those disciples' challenge, and just as the house of Israel's challenge, is to witness in word and in deed to the inclusive love of God. To resist the temptation to scapegoat others. To resist the temptation to declare who is out and who is in. To resist the temptation to place ourselves above others. To recognize that all human beings, whether we agree with them or disagree with them, all human beings are children of the living God, and are embraced by the love and the salvation of God. Those are the glasses we're expected to look at the world through. What would we say if in the midst of a fierce, loud, cantankerous debate on immigration, we looked at the immigrant through those glasses? What would we say amid a fierce, cantankerous, loud debate around the disposition of detainees in Guantanamo prison? What would we say if we looked through the lenses of those glasses? The challenge that Jesus gave to his contemporaries is no less complex than the challenges placed before us. You and I are called to be healed, just as the daughter of Jairus was called to be healed. And we are called to be healed in virtue of the way in which we treat each other. The healing is in our hands. Forgive us as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. The measure with which you measure is the measure that will be measured back to you.